Okay, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I was in Cincinnati, Ohio yesterday. We had a Midwest conference. People came from Chicago, Greenfield, Indianapolis. A bunch of people from Baltimore came, North Carolina. We had a beautiful time, Pastor Schwartz, and just being in fellowship. Pastor Schwartz picked me up at the airport. We went to my hotel. I said, "Come on to my room. Let's go to God in faith for what God wants to give to us today." That was Friday, and Friday night, Saturday morning, and then our lunch, and then I just came, and we did a beautiful time. One brother from Indianapolis I never met before, he said, "I recognize your voice. I listen to you every morning, and my life has been changed by Christ." "You didn't do it." I said, I know I didn't do that. I know that. No, he said, no, it was... I'm always amazed when somebody's life is changed by Christ. I am always so encouraged when somebody is saved and their life is changed. It's amazing. The Corinthians had this happen to them individually, one by one, just like you. You and I have been born of the Spirit, and we want to walk in the Spirit. But sometimes we are carnal, and maybe even practice carnality. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." What's the difference? When I speak to you and we are spiritual, I can tell you the truth, and you will not get so offended. But if you are carnal, you are much more sensitive and can more easily be offended. "But I could not tell you what you really needed. I had to kind of massage you, like understand you, coddle you. I had to somehow, like I had to be sensitive not to offend you because you are carnal." Now, how many here have been carnal lately? Okay, now, I've noticed it with myself. Sometimes there's a reaction, and, you know, I have a rebellion or a reaction in my heart about authority, about truth, about being corrected. I don't like it, maybe. But I recognize that in me, and that's a good thing, because it means I need God. I need to learn to be filled with the Spirit. I need God. There are some people that are so set in their way, if you even, like, if you challenge them, there's a reaction. They protect themselves. They put up a shield. They go at you. They use emotion to protect themselves. They get angry, and it's just a form of carnality. Okay, so you have all become very quiet suddenly. Okay, so that's a good thing. All right, so let's go to the text. It goes, "I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." By the way, when you learn to live in the Spirit, you enjoy it when somebody tells you the truth. That's Psalm 141. That's where we're going to go in a few minutes. But I just want to make a few points here. Young people, teenagers, they do not like to be challenged. Sometimes they are in a state of you know, "Don't tell me." So they go to school. They learn there's kind of enforced discipline. Their football coach, I remember him yelling and swearing like a sailor, but somehow I needed it. I needed a tough guy. I needed somebody to hit me. I needed some training at school. I needed a tough teacher. You know, who was the toughest teacher in school for you? Which grade was it? Turn to your neighbor and tell him. You get to talk a little bit this morning. Go ahead. Who is your best teacher? Best teacher. All right. Pastor Ron said, Pastor Ron's over there, he's 80. What? How old are you? 80 what? 86. Yeah. No, 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 it's not his birthday. No, 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 none of that, no. He said his best ninth grade English teacher. Okay, mine was my sixth grade teacher. I was so afraid of him. I went into that classroom so respectful. Wow, he was good. I liked him. He set the tempo for the rest of my, you know, miserable life. Okay. All right, now listen. Carnal people are very good whiners. They are whiners. They whine about everything. Carnal people. They complain easily. They whine about this and that. They always have an excuse. It's life's not fair. It's not fair what happened to them. They've been victimized, ripped off, stolen, abused, and beaten. It may be true. But it's Exodus 34:20 says, God said to the Jews, you cannot come to me empty-handed. You cannot come to me empty-handed. When you come to me, you must come to me, and they must come to me with blood. You must come to me with anointing oil. This is Old Testament teaching. You must come to me by faith. You must come to me in certain clothes as priests. You must come to me in my name. You must come to me, and you see, God is saying, you come to me, and I understand all of your pain in your flesh, but I gave the cross so you could go to the cross and exchange your life for my son. And when you come to me with my son. Not empty-handed. You come to me in the name of my son. You come to me in the spirit. You come to me by faith. You come to me not empty-handed. You come to me in Jesus' name. Christ's name. Remember Jacob? Jacob came to his father. What was his father's name? Isaac. And remember, he came with the hairy arms, and he came with my name is Esau. And Isaac said, because he's blind, he said, yeah, let me feel your arms. He said, yes, you have the arms of Esau. But who are you? My name is Esau. Okay, then I bless you. And then he goes away, and he goes, I got the blessing. And who are you? I am Jacob. And I got the blessing. But I told him I am Esau. And I got the blessing. That's like us with Jesus. Like, who are you? Are you that scoundrel Tom Schaller? No! My name is Jesus. I want the blessing. I come to you in the name of your son. Imagine. I come to you not empty-handed and not with my stuff, my luggage. I'm coming to you in the name of your son. Not empty-handed. I'm coming to you in the name of Christ. Now go back to the carnal part here. Verse 2. I have fed you with milk, he says to the Corinthians. And, you know, milk Christians are Christians that need their flesh pampered, coddled. They need to be comforted, understood, and I understand that that's part of life. But a 14-year-old boy, he cannot be drinking milk and survive. I mean, he can live, I suppose, but not much muscle there, not much life there. You've got to drink milk every 2 hours. And it just, you know, it's not, he needs to eat meat. Same with you and I. You know, I don't need to be told, if you believe in Jesus, you're going to become rich. If you believe in Jesus, everything's going to be fine. If you believe in Jesus, you're going to have the most amazing life. You're going to have a beautiful wife and a great car and a house and a job. If you believe in Jesus, he's going to give you everything you want. And put the picture of your automobile up on the refrigerator and pray to God every day and Jesus will give you that automobile. Check with me 20 years later. What happened? Life came out different from what I thought. I thought believing in Jesus, I'd live happily ever after. But I need meat. I need meat for the battle. I need Jesus to, what does it say? Light up every shadow, right? Climb up every mountain, kick down every wall, and tear down every lie. I need Christ in reality to teach me doctrine and build me up in him. And we'll look at that in a second. But go to the next verse. It says, verse 2. For I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it. Why couldn't you bear the meat? Because you are coming to God like with your... You're coming to God with a photograph of the car you want. And also the wife you want. You found the picture of your wife in a magazine. And you come to God. And you come into... And you know, and the Lord is saying, you know, really? Really? Am I your lap dog? Am I the credit card you pull out to just buy whatever you want? It's like, get a little deeper with me and leave that at the cross and come to me filled with the Spirit and with brokenness and a heart and a mind to learn from me what I have to say to you. What I have to say to you, put your photograph away and listen to what I have to say to you. Because I have promises, I have reality, I have my Holy Spirit to be your teacher, and I want to lead you and guide you. I have something to show you. Go to verse 3. It says, for you are yet carnal, for there is envying and strife and divisions. So I have envying in my heart. Let's say I have envying. I envy. I used to live in Hungary, and many of you know I went to Romania to a village. I mean, it was a dirt village and a mission to preach there in a little, there was a chicken coop. There's like a small village. These people, wow, it was amazing going back and long time ago, it seemed like. And it was beautiful. I love the people, the village people came to listen to the message. And I said, some of you may have 7 chickens, and you are jealous of somebody who has 100 chickens. And if somebody here, you have a house, and you got 2 rooms in it, and somebody else has a house with 3 or 4 rooms. And somebody's married and somebody isn't, and you have jealousy in this village, in your heart, and God wants to help you, God wants to teach you, and show you something deeper. Because you cannot live your life envying people. You must find something deeper, a person who loves you and cares for you. We spent the whole afternoon with these amazing people listening to and loving what we had to say. And God knows the value of it. I do not know. I didn't go back. It was only one day there, but it was a blessing. And I think it could be said all across our country that there is envying in the hearts of Christians because of things I don't have or things I'm disappointed with. And even with God, I'm unhappy. I went to Westminster the other day to my grandson's lacrosse game, my grandson Ethan. And we drove up there and I watched him play lacrosse. And coming back, we stopped for ice cream. And at the little ice cream shack, we got the ice cream and then we walked away. And I said to Ethan, let's go back and tell the man about Jesus. So we went back there and he looked at me. He's about my little younger than me and looked at me seriously. I go, I got to talk. I want to tell you I'm a pastor and I want to tell you about Jesus. And he looked at me so serious. He goes, 1 year ago, I lost my 25-year-old son. And our eyes had contact. We made contact, and I felt sorry for him. And heartbroken. I'm so sorry. Are you disappointed with God? He goes, no, I don't think so. I'm hurt. And so we talked. It's all that soul winning is. Soul winning ministry is... It's just people. That people all around us, they need something more than just envying and division, you know, censorship. Remember the cancel culture thing? I got an idea. Better than censoring people, why don't we have discussion? Why don't we have a debate? Why don't we have an open discussion? Somebody believes that way, somebody believes the other way. What does love do? It tolerates. It endures. It forbears. It's the same in the church. We give room to each other because of love. Carnal people can't do it. Carnal people are fighting. They're fighting too much. And our country is like that. But no, that's not you. You are not living in that. You found another, and this is where we go, from carnality to vertical relationship. That's the main part of my message today, and I want to help you with that in thinking about it. Turn to Psalm 141, please. Vertical relationship. Do you have a vertical relationship with God? We could stop and think about it. What does that mean? Do you have a relationship with God where you are able to bring your miserable life or whatever you want to call or your troubled self or whatever it is that you have in your life or your success or your pride or whatever, your good self-image, I hope you have. That's a beautiful thing. But it's not enough. Have you brought it to the cross and said to God in your heart, I'm coming, not empty-handed, but I'm asking you to fill me so that I can come to you and enjoy the relationship of truth and spirit. Enjoy you and fellowship with you. That will help me in my life. I might not get what I wanted in life, but maybe that's not what life is about. Maybe it's about me finding God. Maybe I didn't get that beautiful wife that I wanted to get, but I got something. I got God, and then God gave me what he wanted me to have. And he's teaching me how to live my life. And this is a great blessing to be spirit-filled. Many people know about God, they know about Jesus, but do they know about the Holy Spirit being their teacher and filling them so they come to God not empty-handed, but they come to God in Christ's name? Psalm 141, verse 1. Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me. It means hurry up, Lord. Be here with me, Lord. I need you. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Verse 2, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. Incense is that fragrance. There are different kinds of them, but one of them is from Arabia. You cut the bark of a small tree. It bleeds resin. The resin hardens on the tree. You rip it off, and you can burn it, and it smells beautiful. It's called frankincense. It smells, the aroma is beautiful. Let my prayer be that, not foul smelling flesh, disappointment, or these things, or the prayer of Luke 18. I thank you, God, I am not like him. I thank you, God, I fast twice a week. I thank you, God, I'm not like this sinner. Those prayers are meaningless. But this prayer, in a way, is through suffering. Verse 2, and the lifting up of my hands is the evening sacrifice. Maybe you have done it. I have done it many times. I've actually been somewhere, and I just thought that, you know, I can just slip into this room and get on my knees for a few seconds or minutes and just be there before God and just lift up my hands by faith. Why are you lifting your hands? Just by faith in God. I have a vertical relationship with God. I need God. Help me trust. I trust you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Spirit, that's a vertical relationship, isn't it? When we have prayer and then the lifting up of our hands, however God does that whenever in your life, it maybe just a faith. Maybe you just say, you might even say, I don't think I'm going to eat lunch right now. I just want to seek God in my heart and sit at my desk and worship God in my heart and ask God and trust God. This is a relationship with the invisible God, the way we now live by faith in him. Verse 2 says, lifting up my hands is an evening sacrifice. Verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Sometimes I think of a swear word, but I don't say it. Hallelujah. I think of it, and it might rumble around a little bit in the back of my mouth, but I don't say it. I have, but I also have seen, you know, reaction to things. But isn't it amazing that we can be self-correcting? That I could say, you know, I don't want to do that. I want to live by faith. I'm going to praise God. I want to be thankful. Why not take all the bad things and like kind of turn them around and just say, you could sing a song. You could be thankful in everything. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. This is a vertical relationship with God, being filled with the Spirit, isn't it? And we're coming before God every second of our life. Just think about how many people curse God every day. Imagine, I once made a little calculation using New York City. I took the millions of people, the number of hours in a day, how many curses in an hour. And I came up with like this enormous number of curses. And then I thought about believers and about what it means for us to live by faith and for that person, Jesus Christ, that dwells in us and how he has authority in our life so that we praise God and worship him. Give me a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness is Psalm 61. Go to verse 3 again. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. You know how my mouth can be gossiping, talking, Sometimes I don't need that information. Thank you very much, but I don't need that information. Thank you. I don't need that information. That's too much information for me. I don't need it. Thank you. Let's just watch our mouth. This is part of our new life. It's how we are now able. Verse 4, incline not my heart to any evil thing. To be honest, my heart does gravitate to evil things. But I have a new heart, and we set our affection on the things above. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, like my soul cleaves to the dust, Psalm 119 says. I kind of just go that way. But then because of our vertical relationship with God, there's some kind of deliverance. It doesn't happen as much, or it happens, but then I don't spend much time there. My heart might be inclined to an evil thing, but I stop it, or I don't get into it. I don't embrace it. I'm not living there. It's kind of like Martin Luther said, birds may fly over my head, but they cannot make a nest in my hair. That the devil can give a projection, but it can go on. You move on. You move on there, good buddy. You take a long walk off a short pier. I don't need you. I'm not living there. Amen. I'm not embracing that. I don't want it. I'm not interested. I got a vertical relationship with God, and He's helping me and answering my prayer, so my heart is not inclined to the evil, wicked thing. I think we have a battle for our teenagers because we underestimate how their hearts can be inclined to evil things. Our teenagers, which are awesome people, young people, and dads and moms, have to teach them and help them and also tell them to come under authority and be under authority, because that authority is a blessing for their lives. It's the first commandment with promise. Honor your father and mother and with promise of long life. Sometimes I've met 90-year-old people or elderly people and wonder how they have lived so long. And in my mind, I process it this way. I think that 97-year-old man has honored his father and mother, because it goes along with the verse. Honor your father and mother, and you shall live long upon the earth. That's just how I think about it. And I think young people need to be helped, loved, corrected, encouraged, guided. And little Samuel found that he, as a little guy, could have a vertical relationship with God. Mary, the mother of Jesus, young girl, heard from God and the angel, and she said, "Let it be unto me according to your word." Vertical relationship, right? But we're pulled to this other, the flesh and carnality. And when I see it in my heart, I go, "Oh, I know what that is. Envying is not a way to live. I want to come before God and thank you for my brother who has 100 chickens. Thank you, Lord. You have blessed him. And may you double the chickens and give him everything, whatever he needs, and protect him and bless him in Jesus' name." That's really God. That's Christ, isn't it? That's Jesus blessing our enemies. That's God doing good things to people. That's what I want for people that are better than me, that have more than I have, that have a lot in life. I want them to have as much as they whatever God would give them. I am a blessed man because my God is God. Jesus. Isn't that good? Go to the last verses, verse 4 and 5. The last verse is 5. I'm going to teach on that for a minute. And let me check my time. I'm okay. Verse 4. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. Get out of there. Get out of there. Men that practice iniquity, I'm not going to be part of it. I'll get into more trouble and more trouble. Be like the pulling the drain on the bathtub, and the vortex takes me in, and I go down the drain. Not going to happen, because I got a vertical with God. That's what I want. A vertical with God will keep me away from that kind of destruction and take me down the drain. I was in line at the airport, long story short, there were two young ladies behind me, and I said a few words. They said back to me, then they were talking about drinking beer and so on, and I didn't really talk to them, but I'm just thinking, you know, it's fashionable to say something. It's fashionable to think a certain way. It's fashionable to say certain things and talk in a certain way. And then it says here, verse 4, there are people that practice and they work iniquity. And it says, let me not eat of their dainties. Dainties, that delicacy of food. This is the picture, a parallel to a spiritual dainty or a temptation that comes. And these young ladies, I mean, their way and way they talk and so on, you know, it could be that somebody is drawn to something, and it's not, I know, you and I must know the difference between what is carnality and what it means to have a satisfying relationship in righteousness. Dainties. What's the best kind of French, something French? What is food? Some kind of tort? French. Remember that? Was that custard? Yeah, and they light it on fire. Oh, it's so delicious. And then you have like the Kansas City barbecue. I mean, you got all kinds of food that. Oh, I'm so hungry right now. It's so awesome. And the beautiful dainties, you know, that's delicacy, special foods that are offered. And it says here, do not be drawn to them. But I am. But I know how to say no. Actually, I'm learning and developing a practice in my heart, in my mind, and I must do this, because this is how you overcome. And I'm very concerned about our new generation, the generation that's on that with all kinds of sin that is immediately on my phone. Immediately there. I don't even have to hide it. I can just, it's there, it is automatically, immediately on my phone. And it's like dainties or delicacies that people eat. But I know where it takes me. I know what it is, right? I'm not interested. I found something deeper. I'm in the Olympics. I use that illustration with the guy in the plane I flew with yesterday. We were talking for a while. And I go, I think the world is cheating people. The world is lying to people. I want to be in the Olympics. I want to win a gold medal. He goes, what do you mean? I go, I want to be a serious person. I want somebody to tell me straight up. I need training. I need a guy that's going to kind of beat on me and lead me. I need the truth. I need reality. I want to win. I want to win. He's like, whoa, calm down. We're on the plane. You know, put your mask on. Okay, so All right. So, yeah. Okay, so we had a good talk, but that leads me to verse 5 in the last part. It says, let the righteous smite me. What does that mean to be struck by a righteous man? We mentioned in the beginning, didn't we? Who was your best teacher in school? That guy that was tough. He was tough. I'll never forget him. Mr. Forbes, that was his name. He was a tough Scottish bagpipe. And, you know, Scottish, you know, big too. Sixth grade? I'm only sixth grade. Man. Now listen. When Jesus came, he was righteous, and he's with, but it wasn't fooling around. There was joy, there was truth, there was peace, but it was also serious. You are my disciples, you leave your house, your mother, your father, your own life. What? Yeah, let the righteous smite me. I want reality. Yeah, you can't do that anymore. Just stop it. You can't do that. Stop it. You can't do it. That's what I need. Well, how does that go in a whining culture? Everybody's a victim. It's not fair. You're hurting me. You're offending my feelings. How does that work? Doesn't work well. Doesn't work at all. If God is God and he wants to teach us, then he's going to smite us. And we're going to take it. Because when you are spirit-filled, you're on the same page. You're on the same page. You got 7 chickens and you're thankful for the 7 chickens. And stop your whining. And if you want more, then get out there and get to work and make and get the more the chicken, whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? Okay, wait a minute. Let's go to the verse, verse 5. It says, let the righteous smite me, the football coach or the piano teacher, or whatever it is, you know, life's going to be tough anyway. Why might as well have a good man hit me again. I want to have a righteous man, not the wicked. We're going to read it in a minute. Verse 5, it shall be a kindness when the righteous smite me, and let him reprove me. Why will it be a kindness? Because he's going to tell me the truth. He's going to help me in my life. Read the story of a man in New Orleans. He was an oil man, Texas. I think he had oil in Texas. He was very wealthy, 3 little kids. He was in a bar in New Orleans, I think. He leaves the bar, he disappears. Okay, of course, what happens? They find him the next day in the river, drowned in the river. Okay, what happened? He got drunk, he went outside, he fell in the river, and that was the end of him. I wish a righteous man had smote him. I wish he had gone to a church and he had heard what could happen. I wish his friend would have taken care of him. I wish, and I'm not blaming him, I'm saying life is crazy. I don't know. I'm just trying to say something to get your attention. You might say, that, you know, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. That hurts him. It hurts my feelings. Right, let me live the way. Yeah. No. Do you know what will happen if the righteous smites you? Look at verse 5. It says, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. Oil doesn't break your head. You know what breaks your head? A 2x4. A 2x4, a car accident on 95 because of you're a drunk driver, that'll break your head. But the oil doesn't break your head. The oil is a kindness. The oil is a blessing. The oil is an authority of care and investment. The oil is a thing that matters. The oil is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. That's what I need in my church. I need the church to talk to me. I need the Bible to speak to my heart. This is what Charles Spurgeon said on this verse. he prefers the bitters of gracious company to the dainties of the ungodly. He would rather be smitten by the righteous than feasted by the wicked. How about sexually transmitted diseases? That is 2x4 in the head? Yes. And if somebody has that problem, I don't know anything about anybody here in that regard, but I just say, out of love, you're in a good place. God is for you. God also heals, and God cares, and God forgives, and you are not your sin. It's over and done. However, you have a vertical with God, and God is for you. So I say that. I'm sorry if I went a little too much on that, but I didn't. But so why am I apologizing? Okay, so go to the next part. He gives a permit to faithful admonition. He even invites it. Let the righteous smite me. When the ungodly smile upon us, their flattery is cruel. When the righteous smite us, their faithfulness is kind. Sometimes godly men rap hard. They do not merely hint at evil, but hammer at it. And even then we are to receive the blows in love and be thankful to the hand which smites so heavily. Fools resent reproof. Wise men endeavor to profit by it. Yeah. The fool says, you can't talk to me that way, or I don't want to hear it. I'm not going to go to that church anymore. They are too much in my business. I don't want to hear it. And I'm saying, I understand you. I understand that. And I'm not, I realize what you're saying, but I want to tell you something deeper. You take your life, because we don't care about your flesh. We want your flesh at the cross. God takes care of your flesh, and now you come to God not empty-handed, but you have the spirit and the song and the praise and the thanksgiving and the doctrine. And you say to God, here I am in the name of Christ, and thank you for truth. And you can smite me, God. You can teach me. I'll hear anything you have to say to me, because it will build me up. It will not break my head. It'll be oil on my head, and there'll be a perfume and a blessing, and truth will help me and deliver me from myself. And that's really what I want. I want your life and not the life of the world. I want your way and not my way. I want to lose my life so I gain your life. And then when I have your life, I gain life. I live the life of 100 men, maybe. I live the life of 10 men, maybe. Whatever it is that you give to me. This is a new way of life. A new way of thinking. It says, my friend must love me well if he will tell me of my faults. There is an unction about him if he is honest enough to point out my errors. Many a man has had his head broken at the feast of the wicked. And I want to add, he's had his heart broken, his head broken at the feasts of the wicked. It's happened to some of us. We've been in those feasts. And then we've come to Jesus, and we have a different table. And now we have, but none at the table of it. The oil of flattery is not excellent. The oil so lavishly used at the banquet of the reveler is not excellent. Head-breaking and heart-breaking attend the anointings of the riotous, but it is otherwise with the severest censures of the godly. They are not always sweet, but they are always excellent. And let's finish with that. When we come to church, it may not always be sweet, but it's always excellent. When we come to Jesus, it might be hard sayings, but it's always excellent. I want to hear the truth. And many of us, we have benefited from the ministry of Dr. Stevens, who was not afraid to tell us to offend our flesh and to lead us in the Spirit. And we kind of, you know, it's kind of like getting shot, hit with cold water. You know, it was like one of those, but then it was like, I needed that. I needed the truth. Thank you, Lord. And then humble me and come before you at the cross and fill me and lead me in the way you want me to go. Correct me, teach me, lead me and guide me, because I want to win a gold medal at God's Olympics. And you might say, yeah, that's 1 Corinthians 9:26. You got to fight, run the race to win. And I've met people, they don't want to be like the winners. They want to be common people. They just want to be like just common people. It's like when you know Jesus, it doesn't matter. I don't care about common things. I want excellent things. When you walk with Jesus, it starts to grow in you. I don't care about the common thing. I want the excellent thing. I want to glorify God. I want to know Jesus better. I want to know him deeper. I want the truth in my heart and my life. I want to win the race. I want to run to glorify my heavenly Father. I want to fight but not beat the air. I want to land a punch on the enemy. I want to believe in what God is saying and what God is doing. I want to have a vertical relationship with God where the Spirit of God is leading and guiding us. Okay? Let's pray as we close. At the end, do we have a song at the end? Okay. Then we'll have the pastors, while Matt comes up to sing, then the pastors can come down front. And if you say, I have a question, I have something in my heart, I want to have a prayer, I have a need, then you can come down front and ask a pastor to help you as we, and we're at the end of the service. Lord Jesus, we are in your house and listening to what you say to us about life. Maybe someone here is not yet kind of in your heart. You have not yet really turned in your heart to Christ by faith. Go ahead. By faith, say to Jesus, yes, to Jesus. And then walk by faith in him. You are born of the Spirit today. You can put the date down in your Bible. I am born of the Spirit on this day. Is it May 2nd? What day it is? May 2nd. Write it down. My spiritual birthday happened today. I am born of the Spirit today, and I walk by faith in him. And that's God's gift to you, freely given to you. And then, Lord, for all of us, we want to walk and let the righteous smite me. It will be a kindness. A certain kind of life will come from this enduring and receiving your instruction and your guidance. In Jesus' name, amen.